Well, if you want to take your Bibles, we're going to go to Galatians here. As I was thinking about this advance months ago, thinking about what would be a good theme, you know, to base the weekend around and so on, and this verse kept coming up in my mind. And you know how the Word of God says it's all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You know that part? That Second Timothy business? It's doctrine, it's reproof, and it's correction. In my heart, as I thought of this, I thought of how wonderful you are at this. There may be areas in our lives in this area being especially good under the household that we could improve on. But I think overall, one of the things that make you so wonderful and make you so enjoyable to be around is how you do care for the household of God. And I'm very thankful to God to be a part of your lives and to have been the beneficiary of you being especially good to me so many times when I haven't deserved it or earned a doggone thing. And if you want to, I guess you already went there. I got to go there. Galatians 6, is it? Verse 10. Galatians 6, verse 10, please. It says, "As ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." A literal translation of this verse at once was, and it's still pretty apropos, "Therefore, as we have the proper time to sow, let us work for the good of all, but especially for the believers." You know what that means? You're good to everybody. You're good to your mailman. You're good to the post office. I guess they're associated, aren't they? Okay. The garbage man, you know, the guy at the grocery store, the girl at the laundromat. You're nice at the Quick Check. You're nice at the liquor store. You're nice at the Burger King. You're nice wherever it is that you might go. We're just good to everybody, but especially good to those who are born of God's seed. We can be good to everybody, and we should be good to everybody. We should bless people. We should love people. We should take the time to say hello. How you doing? Not too many people even do that. And when we're together, it should be such a love fest that we're healed just by being one with another. And my heart for this weekend is, and was, and will be, that tremendous healing transpires of hearts because of God's goodness and God's word being manifested. It always happens when people have their hearts knit together in love. I want you to go to Philippians, or Ephesians is good, chapter 5. I remember my very first fellowship, as I'm sure many of you remember your very first fellowship. Steve Zalesi was at my very first fellowship. He'd been in the Word of God a lot longer than me, probably 6 months or something. He was what we used to call a heavy. He's heavy. He's like deep. He's been in the Word like 3 months. And so I went to a fellowship similar to this. It was probably smaller, actually. And I couldn't get over it. I heard the Word of God presented, and I understood it. That was something. A man named Dr. Weirwald taught live on John 9, the man born blind on February 13th, 1971, at Parkview School, I think. What was the name of it? I think it was Park School. And I was blown away by the Word of God that was taught. But the thing that stuck with me, in addition to that, was people loved me who didn't know me. Now, I didn't know at the time that that's what it was. I can't tell you that. I didn't know what it was. But something really was deep in my soul. And it was love. And in chapter 5 of Ephesians 1, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." God wants us to follow. He wants us to imitate him. And he's not somebody like we are, what you can see, you can touch, you know, and all that, so you can smell. He's not like that. But he shows who he is in his word. And so as we learn the word of God and see his nature and see what it is he's really great at, what he really does, we can learn to imitate him, which is really, really tremendous. And verse 2 says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." God wants us to follow him, and the first thing it says to follow him in here in Ephesians is love. Walk in love. And that's one tremendous way to be especially good unto the household. What I'm going to share now is some things that we can do to be especially good to the household. Some things which other people will share this weekend in specific fashion, one subject. I'm going to share a bunch of different ways, and you can write them down if you want to, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but it'd be great if you could apply them. Let's go to Philippians 2. It's always such a blessing to come here early, you know, to help set this place up. The way we've handled it for years and years as far as meetings and stuff like that, we say if anybody would like to help, we're going to start setting up at such and such time. Today it was 1 or 11, whatever it was. And there was about 150 people here willing to help. And I just always get so blessed because of the love, the heart that goes into this place long before you arrive. Well, you, half of us were here. It's fantastic. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." The word esteem means, it doesn't mean in quality, it means in priority. Let us esteem others more than ourselves when we're with each other. When I'm with you, you're the most important thing on earth. If I'm with you and your heart is that I'm the most important thing on earth, and we try our best to bless one another, what we have is fellowship. That full sharing that only can come when you share something fully that the other person does too. It's a fantastic thing. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to help one another. A translation of this once was, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vainglory," which is easy to do because we live with ourselves all the time, so the tendency many times is to think of ourselves. But when we're with one another, man, it should be a priority of ours to try to do our best to bless each other. And then it says, "But with humility of mind, let everyone consider others first." And that's a tremendous thing, too. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Some of you have come long distances to be here. We're sure happy you could be here. I didn't think it would be this cold, I'm sorry, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. At least it's not hail and sleet and snow. Maybe you can hug each other more. That'd be good. Colossians 1, verse 9, it says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Man, oh man, one great way to be especially good unto the household is to pray for one another to operate manifestations. To operate word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, which are the eyes and ears of the church. Without the eyes and the ears of the church is blind and deaf. We need that. And so one thing that they did, Paul did, was he prayed that people, that he didn't cease to pray for people, that they could be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What a tremendous way to be especially good to the household, to pray for one another. We take that one too lightly because it's nothing anybody sees. We don't get personal recognition and thanks for our daily prayers that we pray for one another. But doggone it, I think sometimes 5 seconds of praying for someone does better than 5 hours of talking with them on the telephone. I mean, I don't know. Maybe your phone conversations are better than mine. But my prayer life is fine. And I can pray for you, and I can think of you walking. I can see you speaking God's word. I can see you healed. I can see you walking by revelation. I can see you getting in there, ministering to people, helping people, and praying for you that you can do that and that you do that. That's one thing Paul prayed for. Ephesians 1 talks about it also. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Paul writes by revelation that he ceased not to give thanks for you. And this is the believers. He didn't stop thanking God for the believers, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. And that's the believers. That's could be me and you, that he might give unto me and you that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know, not question, not doubt, not be anxious about, but that ye might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You see, he prayed that the believers could operate manifestations. That's the only thing that can lighten our eyes, is a greater understanding of God's word, whether it's written or revealed. And when it's revealed, it's knowledge that we get that's humanly impossible for our 5 senses to know anything. And the wisdom is what to do with that knowledge. What a loving God. The discerning of spirits deal is being able to know what's going on spiritually. Man, that's really important when you're walking someplace down the street. Even if your town's a quiet town, you know, don't be fooled. It ain't that quiet. So his prayer was so that people could walk, that people could walk by the Spirit, that people could walk and hear God's still small voice. It's fantastic. Fantastic. So one great way to be especially good unto the household is to pray for each other. Pray for each other that we could walk. That we could walk. Let's go to Romans 15. Sure, thank God for your lives. Verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us unto the glory of God. You know, there was a time in our lives when we were without God and without hope in this world. There was a time in our lives when we were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time in our lives when we didn't care about God at all. And yet somehow, God still cared for us. His son was still fighting for us. You know, we ought to think about how God does that for us before we rush to judgment and throw somebody away in our mind. And people are not expendable. Things are, but not people. The Lord's portion is his people. We ought to receive one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. So I don't really understand the fullness of that verse. I can't tell you that I do. But I can tell you that that's a neat verse. Acts chapter 2. Oh. Acts chapter 2. And you know, in Acts chapter 2, we have the birth of the church, the birth of a new administration, the grace administration, the administration of the mystery, the administration that you and I currently live in. Looking forward to the next administration. That's going to be a dandy. But until then, this one is, my heart will go on singing. But this one isn't bad. And I always enjoy reading this section in Acts because this is what the first century did. They succeeded by doing these things. And we're going to read verse 42. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is what the first century church did in the beginning. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Continued steadfastly means they remained, they abode, they stayed. That's a very important key. You've been taught God's word really well. Somebody was praying about it tonight. And we all have for many, many, many years. And I was talking to some people about this again this week and how really that's what I've tried to do. And I know that's what most of the overseer dudes here have tried to do, is to try to continue to teach the same that we were taught without any deviation and walk that way. And it's worked pretty well. You're a good example of that. And I would like to exhort us to remain and to abide in that doctrine. And fellowship. And I shared earlier, the fellowship is a full sharing of sharing fully. It's full participation where you're all in. And in breaking of bread and prayers. These are things that the first century did. And I know that I'm sharing on how to be especially good unto the household. Well, this is a great way. All these things are great ways to be especially good to the household. Number one, believe. Believe what you've been taught. You want to be good to me? Believe what you've been taught, man. That's cool. That's going to bless me. Fine and dandy. Fellowship. Share fully one with another. That's going to bless God. Fine and dandy. And that's going to bless us. Fine and dandy. And in breaking the bread. You guys never lack at that. You're very, very good at that. You excel. Oh, man, they had cannolis here tonight that were unbelievable. Here. I mean, they were good cannolis up here in Alaska. That was some good cannolis. What I did tonight, I tried something new. I ate, what was that chicken one? Parmesan. And the other thing was lasagna. So I ate half of my chicken parmesan, I ate half of my lasagna, and I had half a cannoli. Then I had half of my chicken parm, half of my lasagna, and I finished with the cannoli. It was unbelievable. You got to try that. I highly recommend that. And in prayers, they prayed. And respect came upon every soul. That's a wonderful way to be especially good unto the household. Respect one another. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So they got rid of their junk and they gave it to people who had need. So let's say Will Horn has four paintbrushes. He only needs one. He gives Lance a paintbrush. For what, I don't know, but he gives him a paintbrush. So Lance can paint a house, you know. And they continuing daily, that means they remained. They remained and they abided in daily with one accord, one mind. They were like-minded in the temple. They broke bread from house to house, which you so frequently do also. You go over to people's house, you have something to eat. That's just what you do. It's great. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were happy about being together. It wasn't a burden. Gosh, it was a blessing. And they praised God. Praise God. Praising means to speak of, or speaking in praise of, or to celebrate. And having favor, that's that word grace. It's the beauty of speech. It's inclining towards one another. It's kindness. It's, you know, nice. It's undeserved divine favor, for crying out loud. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that section? Well, you are. You are right here, right now. You know, so go to 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries or divine secrets. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. One tremendous way to be especially good unto a household is to do what we heard earlier, to bring forth a message from God by tongues with interpretation and our prophecy. And the reason it's especially good is listen to the words that we heard. Holy smokes. Wow. What a way to bless the body of Christ. To bring forth a message that will edify, that will build us up. You know, just build us up. It'll encourage us to a more worthy endeavor. It'll quiet us down if we need to be quieted down. It's just such an awesome privilege that God has given every single believer to interpret tongues and to prophesy. One tremendous way to be especially good unto the household is to operate the utterance or worship manifestations. It's fabulous. You've had it, like tonight. Oh, man. Holy smokes. That was just tremendous. One great way to give to the church to be especially good is to operate the manifestations. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 8 of Romans 13 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything but to love one another." Look at Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." The love of God isn't a mask that you wear to perform. The word dissimulation stems from when they used to do plays and so on and so forth. Many times they'd do one man plays, or one, I don't know if they did one woman plays, probably did one woman play, a one man play. But they would use different masks to determine which part they were playing. The love of God is not like that. It is without masks. It's without hypocrisy. God doesn't like, I mean, he loves everyone, but hypocrisy isn't his favorite thing. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil," which means avoid at all costs that which is evil. And I love my father. He's so wonderful because he doesn't just say, "Don't do this." He tells us what to do instead. That's loving. That's kind. That takes time, but he says, "Abhor that which is evil. Avoid at all costs that which is evil." And here's how. "By cleaving together to that which is good." The word cleave is the word weld. I'm not a welder. I've never welded. Oh, I did. Yes, I did. I made stained glass terrariums with my girlfriend in 1971. And I injured myself. Horrible thing. But a weld is supposed to be stronger than the original. The way we avoid at all costs that which is evil is by welding yourself together to that which is good. And we have shared tonight already many things that are good. Prayer's good. Manifestations are good. Being like-minded is good. Fellowship is good. Being, you know, in alignment and harmony with right doctrine is good. There's so many good things. And you know what? As we do that which is good, we're not going to be concerned about that which is bad. And then it says, "Be kindly affectionate one another." You know what that means, really? Be nice to each other. Like each other, for crying out loud. You know, you're going to prefer some softball player that is a hunk who doesn't care anything about God, but you don't like two people in your fellowship because they sneezed during your father's teaching. Give me a break. I would recommend staying away from hunky bunk. You know, be nice to each other, all right? Take it easy. It's my favorite Tony Soprano line of all. Take it easy. And then he takes a gun and shoots somebody, you know, like, take it easy. Boom, you know, pretty easy. Look, then it says in honor, preferring one another. Who do we prefer? I prefer you. I do. And one great way to be especially good unto the household of faith is by loving one another. Be nice to each other. Ah, that's so easy. That's so easy. So, 1 John 4, you always got to go to 1 John sometime. You always have to go to 1 John sometime. That makes a lot of sense, Jerry. Sometimes it just seems like you always have to go to 1 John. That's funny to me. Okay, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. So you say you love God, and the word hate really means strongly dislike. You're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is a command we have of him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We just need to learn how to like each other. You know how you do it? You look for great things in each other. Look for what makes you so wonderful and so special. I once did a teaching called God Don't Call Junk. Now that's a good title if you ever heard one. I mean, what's it? Why would he? I mean, we're sons. We're seated at the right hand of God. You don't like somebody, but they're seated at the right hand of God. You're going to live with them forever. Get over it. What's so bad? You got a Holy Spirit, I got a Holy Spirit. What's not to like? Take a look at each other. Here, look amongst yourselves. Go on, go ahead. You're not really doing it. Yeah, see? What do you see? I see Christ. I see Christ in each and every one of you. That's what I see. I see the light of God. I see the love of God. I see the heart of God. That's what I see. And sometimes that might take a little while because somebody hurt you or somebody did something they shouldn't have done. And okay, I'm not excusing that. What I excuse is when you hold such an attitude that you won't let somebody break out of the funk you put in your head. Come on with it now. Don't play no reindeer games with me. God can see. And he knows what's happening. And he would prefer that we really loved each other. So, Galatians 5. I got my Oakland out of the way. Galatians 5. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And that means the freedom to go where you want to go, when you want to go. It's kind of great. We have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty to occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. One great way to be able to bless and to be especially good to the household of faith is to serve one another. Brian played it tonight on the music before, that Dylan song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. You know, serve somebody. Look for ways that you can bless them. On the way up today, Mike Tracy and I were talking about that. We're talking about one of the words in the one of the definitions for the word minister is waiter, like you wait tables at a restaurant. And what you do when you wait a table is you take their order, and then you serve them what they've ordered. And if it's not exactly what they need and that they want, then you change it and you make sure that they're blessed and that they're taking. That's what a minister is. A minister isn't somebody sitting in an ivory tower waiting everybody to kiss their ass. Can I say kiss? You know, it's someone who will genuinely take the time to bless you. And That's something that also you are just tremendous examples of. In Ephesians 4:29, and that's one way to be especially good unto the household, to serve each other. Chapter 4, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. God did not intend mankind to putrefy and say rottenest words to others. Let no corrupt means to be rotten, putrid. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God wants us to minister grace to one another. It's fantastic truth. Let no corrupt, putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister. And the word minister here means to give with heart and willingness. To minister with heart and willingness. You know, where you just really want to do it. And then it says grace, a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature, an inclining disposition, its beauty of speech. It's a friendly willingness and undeserved divine favor. This is what God wants us to want. He wants us to give with heart and willingness grace. And if you really think about it, what an incredible privilege. Who would ever think that we could actually minister God's grace to other people? I mean, golly, what a magnificent, loving God that He would entrust us to be able to do that for one another. With willingness, with heart, with desire. One great way to be especially good unto the household is to minister grace to each other. Verse 32, we're in the neighborhood, ain't we? Well, yeah. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Man, oh man. Tenderhearted means to be self-yearningly affectionate. Yeah. Tenderhearted, be affectionate. This world that we live in, man, I once wrote a song in Georgia a long, long time ago. This world, I forgot now. I had it and I lost it. That's okay. It's sometimers. This world sure isn't affectionate. And it does everything that it can do to harden you, to make you think that to be tough is good. Well, maybe being tough is good, but being tender is better. That world out there is dark and cold and cruel. I ain't the devil's fool. I forget the rest of it. But it is, and it hasn't changed. It's still dark and cold and cruel. It still tries to make us move faster than we should move. Slow down. Slow down. Take time. Breathe. Appreciate the sun. Appreciate the stars. Appreciate the things that God has freely given to us. Righteousness. Redemption. Completeness. Salvation. All these wonderful things. Be kind, tender-hearted. Don't let the world rob you of tenderness. And I know stuff happens. God knows I know. It's still available to be tender. I don't mind you being tough, but as long as you're tender, though, you got to be tender. Good Lord. Everybody wants to be king of the mountain. Well, go ahead. Have fun. It's lonely up there. I wouldn't know, but... it's my life stream, no? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And forgiving here means to kindly forgive a person. To kindly forgive a person. Not just say, I forgive you. I mean, that's a start, but it would be better if it was, you know, I love you. It's all over. It's all over. Now, if you married couples out there, you know who you are. Who do you think you've argued with more in your life than anyone else? I would say probably your husband or wife. Who do you love more than anybody? Your husband or wife. And if there isn't great forgiveness in a marriage, that thing will never last more than nine. I don't know what I'm saying. It's good to be forgiving. Really good. And that is one tremendous way to be especially good to the household. If you want God's word to move, if you want God's word to flourish in a place, they look at you before you look. They look at the book. You can quote them Ezekiel till you die. They ain't going to hear nothing. They see us before they ever see the word of God. One great way to be especially good to the household is to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. In Galatians 6, I'm tired. Good. Where are you going this weekend? Nowhere, so enjoy it. Verse 1. Brethren, boy, this is something. Every time I read this, it's just great. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yeah, if we're really spiritual, we ought to do our best to put, and the word restore means to put back to the former state, or to reinstate. When you share with somebody more fully on something, you know, don't be cocky about it, but don't back down from it either. Share the word of God so as to help that person get back in alignment and harmony with God so that they can have tremendous relationship with God and fellowship with God. And we do our best to bear one another's burdens. Somebody hurts, you hurt. Somebody cries, you cry. If somebody has a need, you do your best to help. That's what we do. That's being especially good to the household. Romans 15. You ever have children? Any of you ever have children? I guess you're not too proud of your kids. You got kids. Did any of them ever make a mistake? Verse 14. I think it's 14. 15, 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish means to put in mind, to warn, to instruct. It basically is, if somebody is hurting and there's something going on that's not right, you help them. You help them. You help them with God's word. You help them come back to God's word. You know, we all can be prideful jerks at times. But when it comes to God's word, that is where we need to stop our nonsense. That is, for me, the stopper. If I hear God's word and I'm instructed in God's word more perfectly, you know, so long as somebody's not just yelling at me and screaming at me, but has my heart in mind and wants and gives me the word, man, it is my responsibility and privilege to stop and to listen. I taught my children that. And boy, Jesse and I used to have just haymakers, man. We fought all the time. And it's all right with me, you know. But every so often, in the middle of a fight, he would share a scripture. And man, I shut my mouth. And you can ask him. Because it's the word. It's not who sings the song, it's that it gets sung. And if it's a word fitly spoken, if it's something that I needed to hear, which in that incident I'm thinking of, I needed to hear, you stop, you listen, and you change. If we really want to grow with God, there is growth involved, which sometimes I grew 6 inches in the summer of my, between the fifth and sixth grade, and I was in deep pain. They call it growing pains. And sometimes in the Word of God, we go through growing pains. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The only one that didn't blow it blew this pop stand over 2,000 years ago, seated at the right hand of God. So don't worry about the sin or anything else, but want to change. It takes time sometimes, but it doesn't take time to listen to God's word. We should just listen to God's word and hear what that has to say. And that's why we'll change. That's why I'll change. I won't change because you say I should. You know, I'm a stubborn Irishman when it comes to that. Don't tell me about stuff like that. But you give me God's word with love, I will do my best to honor what you're sharing and try to change. Because I'm nobody any more special than you. Son of God's about as big as it gets, you know. At the gathering, they're not going to go, well, you're a minister. You're not a minister. Get in the back of the line. No. Probably the other way around. But we're all sons of God. And that's as good as it gets. And we ought to treat each other that way. And we ought to help each other get corrected and get help. And that's one tremendous way to be especially good to the household, is to remind each other of God's word and help each other. 1 Corinthians 14. I think I only have 73 more verses. 14. Verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. And this is talking about what I talked about earlier. When you manifest tongues interpretation and prophecy and stuff like that, you are edifying the church. You're building them up. So one great way to, again, be especially good to the household is to operate manifestations. Philippians 2, verse 4. Boy, I found this a surefire way of not thinking of myself. This verse 4. And I don't really like thinking of myself. It's depressing. You know what I mean. You look within and it's like, oh gosh. And you look without and you go, oh gosh. You look up, you go, yay, it's nice up there. Good view too, you know. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This doesn't mean being a busybody. But this means it means being genuinely interested and concerned in one another. You know, being genuinely concerned, not a busybody, not being Miss Nancy who has to know everything. If your name's Nancy, I don't mean you. It's just a figure of speech. You know, you got to know everything about everybody all the time. Who says so? Who says so? So that's a good thing to do. 1 Corinthians 16. Be concerned about each other. Not worried, but concerned. If you have a fellowship, or if you're in a fellowship, or if you go to a fellowship, be concerned about those people. See what you can do to help them and bless them. 16, verse 20. It says, all the brethren greet you, greet one another with a holy kiss. One of my favorite things to do at these advances is to watch people see each other who haven't seen each other in a long time, and to see what goes on. There's hugs, there's kisses, there's, man, you look great. There's, golly, I've missed you. You look so wonderful. How are you? God, great to see you. There's almost, I don't know, there's something that transpires and it's just real neat. And something I've noticed in the last 10 years, maybe longer, is how believers aren't as tender and affectionate with one another as they used to be. I talked it over with some people about if I was wrong or not. I don't know if I am wrong or if I'm not, but I remember one of the things that blessed me so much when I got into God's Word was people hugging me. And you know, it didn't matter if it was a guy or a girl, just people having that sort of concern. Like tonight, a few guys came up and kissed me, and I was thinking, man, some of these people from other states must wonder what the hell is going on in New Jersey. I'll tell you what, love, heart. I'm secure in my masculinity. I mean, I'm all right, believe you me. But it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to see believers be tender with one another and to touch one another with love. There's a touch that really hurts people, and there's a touch that really heals them. And if it's a touch from the love of God, man, it's really, really healing. If it's not, it can be creepy. It can. You're laughing because you know that's true. So you're tender with one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, you can go there if you want. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the words that they're referring to are the words concerning the gathering together, the great return of Jesus Christ, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain, you know, shall meet him in the air, and there's a trump involved. There's all kinds of things involved. The end result is we're gathered together, and no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fears, no more tears. It's just going to be a fantastic time. And you know something? It's a good thing to remind each other, even though there may have not been a death in the family. It's a good thing to remind one another when there is no death in the family. It is a comfort to know that Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he does, it's just going to be a great time. I don't know what it's going to be like. I hear people sometimes share what they think they know about. I just know it's going to be good. And you know, we have tremendous, I have great weeks. I love my living. I love living. I love you. I love the fellowship. I'm a thankful man, and I'm happy overall. But man, the gathering together, come on, get out of town. What the heck? Yeah, let's get out of town. We're all going to get out of town. And whether we live in Poughkeepsie even, we're going to blow this pop stand forever. Whoo, nice. So we remind each other of the hope. That's one tremendous way to be especially good to the household. Sure is. He's coming back. Colossians 1. Maybe before this teaching's done. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Verse 3 and 4. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Man, those guys, they did some praying. Since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and the love of the love which you have to all the saints and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They gave thanks to God for their believing, for their love, and for their hope. To be genuinely thankful, we must be thankful to someone for something. And these men were thankful to God for these believers at Colossae for their love, for their believing, and for their hope. What a tremendous thing to be thankful. That's one great way to be especially good unto the household of faith, is being thankful for one another. Man, for all that you're good at, do that's great, all that's in you. All that's in you, man, all that's in you. The love, the heart, the depth, the innocence, the tenderness, whatever. You know, I look around and I just see, you know, Christ. That's who I see. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. This is in the context of the love of God, charity. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. You know, it's good. It's, you know, God expects us to see when things are wrong, but he doesn't expect us to think evil. He doesn't expect us to come to the conclusion of evil. He doesn't expect us to be blind as bats as to what's going on, but we are not to come to the conclusion of evil one or another. The love of God does not do that, and that will help people. Gosh, and it takes patience sometimes. A lot of times. Sometimes I feel like locking my door, but I don't. Sometimes I feel like saying, no more. I'm done. I'm cooked. But I don't. Because I'd rather do what I'm doing. And if any of you could tell me what I'm doing, that'd be great. I have no idea. But I would rather be doing that than locking the door and not answering the phone. And, you know, I like you. You're my family. You're my heart. You're my soul. You're my life. And that's the truth. And I am so thankful I have a family like you. As weird as all of us are, it really makes it exciting. Romans 2. This is for the man named Judgmental Joe. Be a great song. Or not. I don't know. Verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, judgmental Joe, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. You know, sometimes immature believers think because you reprove them that you're judging them. That's a lie. Don't do that. Don't go there. Go there with someone else, but not with me, please. Thank you. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such thing. We don't judge. God's word does the judging. If I judge, I judge you righteous because that's the way God judges you. But if I see something wrong, I'm going to bring it up. And if you think that's judging you, well, you're wrong. That's not judging you. It's trying to help you. You know, trying to help you. If you think everyone's judging you, maybe you judge yourself a little too much and maybe you're a little too judgmental. I don't know. But the word says that we're not to judge each other. And in chapter 14 of Romans, great verse, it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The word stumbling block means don't put a trap in front of someone to fall, to fail. You know, you wouldn't want a crackhead, you wouldn't want to invite him to your house and put out crack on the table in front of him, would you? That'd be a stumbling block. And it would be like that with anything else. If you know something bothers somebody, or it could be harmful to somebody, dang it, don't put a stumbling block. One great way to be especially good to the household is to not put stumbling blocks in people's way. And a lot of times it's not things you put in their way, it's what you say that can be a stumbling block. You don't want to remind them of the bummer that they asked God for forgiveness for 20 years ago. Oh, how's that sin going now? I mean, how you doing with the mistake you made 8 years ago when you said you couldn't stand me? You doing better now? I was until now. Now I'm not doing too good. As a matter of fact, I think you're still a jerk. So I put a stumbling block in their way. So we don't judge one another. We judge each other righteous. We don't do things and put things in each other's way that'll hurt each other. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Got to quit in about 60 minutes. Verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Whenever you guys figure that one out, you let me know. I don't know the balance of that one yet. I'm working on it, I guess. But here's a good key to it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Before you go to bed, do your best to take care of whatever it is that is bothering you. Whatever it is, if you can take care of it, take care of it. I don't think that we read the next verse enough. It says, neither give place to the devil. When we let the sun go down upon our wrath, we are giving place to the adversary. And I've seen this happen so many times, so many, many times in believers' lives, where if they just spoke up when it was bothering them, they'd have it all taken care of. But no. Hey, you ever ask your wife what's bothering her? Oh, you men are afraid to say, ain't you? Honey, what's wrong? Nothing. Oh, well, you know right then, there's something wrong. And it's how to handle it once you know. That's where you need like Revelation, Jesus, Mary, all of them. You need them all. Get them all involved. I love women. I'll never figure women out in my life. I don't even think at the gathering there'll be knowledge about that. But you know something's bothering them, and they'll say, no. And you'll go, yeah. Come on, just share it. It's okay. No. And then, 2 hours later, something transpires. It's likened to a volcano erupting. And then you say, I'm sure glad you shared that. As they say in Atlanta, bless your heart. So, we're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath, whether we're a woman or a man. If we have something on our mind and in our chest that we need to get taken care of, we need to get it taken care of. Because by not taking care of it, builds up steam. And you give place to the adversary. Then you end up saying stuff you didn't really want to say. You end up doing stuff you really didn't want to do. You turn into a maniacal human being. It's not a good space. No good. No. So, we don't let the sun go down upon our wrath. That's one great way to be especially good to the household. You don't want to let it go upon your wrath, because then you blow. You just blow. Some people do. Not me, of course, but others. I've heard about it. The verse 25 says, instead of lying to each other, we're to speak truth one with another. Yeah, that's a good alternative to lying. The truth. How about that? Don't lie. Tell the truth. Who knew? It's an awesome scripture. Here's where we get in trouble with the animal lovers. Philippians 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Well, beware of dogs. The dogs in the Bible were Seleukis, the fastest dog in the world that came from Egypt. And they were amazing hunters, and they would hunt from the back. And God does not like backbiting any more than we like being talked about behind our backs. It says, beware of dogs. One great way to be especially good to the household is not talking behind each other's backs. It's a tremendous exhortation. You can't hurt me if you don't talk behind my back. Bad stuff. I want you to talk behind my back all the time. All the good stuff you could ever think. Talk behind my back then. But don't talk bad stuff about me behind my back. I'd prefer that you wouldn't talk to anyone about me except me. And even then, you might just want to say nice stuff. We don't want to talk behind each other's back. We don't want to bite each other. We want to bless each other. We want to help each other. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 6. It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. The word defraud means to take advantage. Let no man go beyond and defraud, take advantage of his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is avenger of all such. We don't take advantage of each other. We do not take advantage of each other. The world does that. We don't do that. We do not take advantage of each other. We give. We bless. We help. Yeah. Galatians 6. And we'll close here. So these are ways that we can be especially good to the household. These are some ways. These aren't all the ways. I don't know if I know all the ways, but these are definitely some ways that I know have helped me through the years, seeing these scriptures and looking at them and doing my best to apply them in my life. It says in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Yeah, and these are some practical ways that we can be especially good to the household of faith. And as we are, it helps the family be a sweeter family. And it also is very inspiring to those who've never seen such a thing. And that's how you win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a great example. Be good to one another. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And I am so very glad I'm a part of your lives. Father, thank you for your word and for how simple it is, how loving and kind you are to show us ways to live. And that we can listen and learn and do those things that you know you have in our best interest and also the best interest of the family. And Father, that we can continue to grow in being especially good to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And thank you for a wonderful night ahead, whatever we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Bless you. Good night. Love you.